Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Event Establishing from IBM conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ms. Dot Alexander, Vice President, Americas System Z Software. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and welcome everyone to our call today, which is on an exciting new topic for mainframe users called event publishing. We're going to spend a little time up front here talking about what event publishing is and the different solutions that IBM has for event publishing. And then we're going to go into a little bit more detail with some experts on the products to give you a little bit more of what the products do and how you can find out more information if you're interested in looking at this in more detail for your company. So if you'll turn to chart two, the objectives of today's session are to make sure that you all understand exactly what event publishing is and how it will enable different events to occur within an SOA architecture. As you know, most people have mission-critical applications on their mainframe, and as well as data that is locked up in mainframes to be secure, to be available, to be highly scalable. They're seeking ways to extend those applications out into the enterprise and connect them to the other applications that might be used in an SOA architecture. And so it's very important that we have new technologies for enabling that extension. Event detection and event publishing are powerful new technologies that allow us to extend those applications and unlock the power of using them in a broader architecture without changing any code. And it is the prospect of doing this without changing any code that is very exciting for everyone. So we're going to go through a little bit of the architecture of the different products. There are different products because there are different problems that people need to solve, and there are different approaches for solving them. We'll talk about the strengths of each of the products. And then we'll take you through a few scenarios of how customers have used these kinds of technologies in their environments. And as I said, we'll go into more detail on each of the products, and we'll have a Q&A session at the end. So if you'll turn to page three, let's get into it a little bit and talk about what it is that people need and why we have a couple of different technologies. Most customers want to extend the applications that they have, perhaps in Qix or COBOL, to support business requirements that are changing very rapidly. And the trick here is to enable the flexibility to transform those applications without having to recode and retest and without having to disrupt the environment that's already a key production environment. Doing this without having to change any lines of code obviously keeps the cost down, but it also keeps the amount of disruption and the amount of retesting to a minimum. We really want to be able to enable the applications to go from being fairly rigid, fairly unchanged applications to being real-time updated applications. We want to be able to use the data that's there, keep the strength of audit control, but add to it some capabilities for things like fraud detection, and really integrate the applications into a new workflow that is the business processes that are changing as customers transform their business for the modern world. And so most people need to maintain different copies of data in either a warehouse or a data mart or in a main data store, and they need access to it in a variety of ways. And we want to be able to enable people to use data in various ways without disrupting the very rigorous and very good application environment that they have in place today. So that's what this is all about. It's making the access to the environment work in what could be a complex world with solutions that don't interject any additional complexity. And so we're looking to key solutions for this kind of environment. Event publishing solutions become a key enabler in this environment. Event publishing can allow you to detect and to trigger a new business process without changing the application that's there by monitoring what's happening either within the transactions or within the data. So if you turn to page four, let's talk a little bit more about what event publishing does. There's actually a new way that we can go at business integration and use of data with event publishing tools. We provide detection of activity within transactional systems and activity and changes within data. These are two approaches towards event publishing that both have a need and both have a place. Sometimes people will be using one, sometimes they'll be using the other, sometimes they'll be using both. We can enable real-time action to be taken based on what's happening in the transactional systems or what's happening within the data systems. And this additional capability can also help us to enable new capabilities such as fraud detection or improve our audit control based on knowing what's happening within the transactional and data systems on the system. Again, the key is we can do this without changing existing applications. as you know, we've had kind of pull technologies where we went and we analyzed events after the fact and then we initiated something happening within the system. This provides a push technology, which is an active approach to taking action based on events that are happening in the system real time as they occur. And this is something that people have been hoping to do, have been trying to write code for themselves, but having a universal solution that's available provides a key solution to an area that people have been struggling with for quite some time. So let's turn to page 5 and take a look at the two different solutions that IBM has. And as I mentioned, there are solutions for both monitoring transactions and taking action based on what we see in transaction systems. And in particular, this would be for the CICS environment on the mainframe and also the MQ environment. And then there's also the ability to take action based on data, which would be vSAM, DB2, or IMS data. We have different approaches to this based on the centricity of the people that might be trying to enable the solution. So if you're coming from the application side and you're looking at the different transactional systems that you're using, you might want to lean more towards the Kix Business Event Publisher for MQ solution, which is a single product that enables event publishing for not only the CICS environment, but also for vSAM, DB2, and IMS. However, if you have more of a centricity to what's happening within your data and you want to take action based on changes that you see in data, there is a suite of products available that take action based on data events. And so we have a solution for DB2 on ZOS only called the WebSphere Data Event Publisher for ZOS. We have a product that also works for DB2 in the Linux, Unix, and Windows world, which is the WebSphere Data Event Publisher. And then we also have a classic edition product, and what we mean by classic edition is more for the legacy world of vSAM, IMS, but also IDMS and Adabase, which is called the WebSphere Information Integration Classic Event Publishers, and that's a suite of publishers for the legacy world. So if you turn to the next page, which is page 6, let's again go over the two centricities of the suites of solutions. For application-driven events, we use the Kix Business Event Publisher. This enables Kix and batch applications to detect vSAM, DB2, or IMS events and to take action on them based on what's happening within transactional workloads. The customer may want to have an audit log going on. They may want to be logging data into a file for SOX compliance. They may want to be looking at the transactions that are driving use of credit and seeing if the transactions add up to a point where it exceeds the credit limit and then triggering some kind of note to either the user or to a credit department to take some action. This would be a great example of where we can use an application-driven set of events to kick off some event publishing solution. On the other hand, if you want to look at data events, you might want to be looking at how data is changing within a data warehouse or in a database, and you might want to be pushing data out to a warehouse as changes occur in the master database. And so the WebSphere Event Publisher for DB2 and other databases can capture the changes as they are made on the master database and can publish them out to other data repositories around the enterprise. So there could be a situation where you use one of these technologies or the other, or there could be a need for both kinds of technologies depending on what you have set up within your environment. So let's take a look at each of these a little bit closer. And again, we're going to have more detail later on, so I'm going to touch very lightly on the high-level bullets. If you turn to chart 7, this chart starts to talk to the Kix Business Event Publisher. Again, this product monitors CICS applications and vSAM, DB2, and IMS events. It lets you monitor events as they occur on the mainframe and deliver messages to the MQ series message queues based on some different criteria that may have occurred that you preset in a profile for this product. It uses a rules engine to set the profile and to filter and create the messages, and it publishes native messages into the MQ series queue. It does have an option to also generate XML messages. So the key point is that this product allows a very low cost, very low risk approach to doing some event publishing based on transactional applications that are happening within your system and without having to rewrite any underlying application software. So this could be a very nice solution to allow you to take some action based on what you see in your application subsystems. If you turn to page 8, let's look at what the WebSphere Event Publishers do. And again, they also monitor events on the host as the business event publisher does, and also format messages for the MQ series message queues. However, they monitor databases and not transactions. And so they're designed to interoperate with other members of the WebSphere information integration family to trigger events based on database changes. And this could be some integration with the DataStage family of products for changing and publishing data between databases. They don't have to be all DB2 databases. They could be different databases. So, for example, if you had an IDMS or Atabest database and you wanted to populate a DB2 database, this product could be used to sense when changes have been made and to publish those changes out to the DB2 databases. There are some filters built in for non-DB2 data using metadata definitions and views that will help you to do the transformation between the databases. And again, this product is integrated with the rest of the family of our information integration solutions, which allows you to enable your master data management within your SOA environment. The key point is this product also allows you to implement these solutions without having to change any code. But when you combine these data event processes with the ETL or extract, transform, and load application integration solutions for data replication, you can facilitate leaving your legacy applications in place and allowing your data to be used with new applications and new technology without having to rewrite and without having to re-engineer your applications. So both powerful solutions, a little bit different approach, but I think you can see where both would be needed. So turning to page 9, we just wanted to give you the product numbers for the different products. You'll see that in the CICS Business Event Publisher, there is only one product number, and all of the different enabling comes under the one product number, which is the 5655J99. For the WebSphere Data Event Publishing family, you'll see that there are different products, and in some cases, different features of products for the different environments that you might wish to enable. And this is because not all customers have all of these environments, and this allows you to order only what you need. Turning to page 10, this just gives you a quick recap. What are the differences between the two products? The differences are highlighted in bold on each side of this page. And what we really want to point out is that in the monitoring section, even though both products offer some recovery services, they do differ in how they do the recovery, and we'll go into that a little bit deeper later in the presentation. But you'll see that the main difference between the two, other than the approach that they use, is that in the WebSphere Event Publisher, if you're publishing data in many styles and formats, you can publish both in Unicode and in the WebSphere II format, as well as EBCDIC and XML. And so you can see the differences between the products on this page, and the rules engine is unique to the Business Event Publisher, which allows you to capture and republish data based on events that are happening in your system. So there are, again, some overlapping functions, but we think enough of a difference that it warrants having two products. On page 11, if you'll switch to page 11, let's talk about a couple of scenarios about where people might use each product. The first is if you want to authenticate usage based on access patterns and look at activity and do some auditive activity of transactions that are happening within the system. The KIX Event Publisher may be the product that you choose to use. This product would look at who is accessing the database and would look for unusual volumes of applications or access patterns that seem to indicate behavior that might be suspicious or might be something that would warrant some action on your part. This could be very good for fraud detection or for some kind of security infraction that people are trying to get into the system and they are not authorized. If you look at the second example for where you would use KIX BEP, this is detecting errors within a CICS application, and perhaps the same alarm messages or errors are being written out in a number of instances, and we can see that it's happening repetitively, and we want to alert someone that it looks like there might be some kind of a problem coming up and it might require some proactive action in order to avoid some kind of system outage. So this is a good solution for sending messages off to a help desk or an alarm console. The third one is kind of an interesting one. If you allow your customers to set a credit limit and they'd like to be notified when they're approaching their credit limit, the product will actually allow you to track how credit is being used against a total that is kept in a database. And when the customer is approaching their limit, it can automatically kick off a message that might be sent to their cell phone or their email to let them know that they're close to reaching their credit limit. Turning the page, page 12. Here is some example of where we might use the WebSphere Event Publisher. And again, we had talked earlier about synchronizing operational data stores with data warehouses and sensing when data changes in the data store, and then kicking off the transaction that actually replicates the data to the data mart. In this case, an ETL solution like DataStage could be used to not only move the data, but transform the data as it's moving between databases. A pretty exciting technology for an environment where you need to make sure that your data is updated in all places, in all instances, and you may be using different kinds of databases. The second example talks about Siebel having changes in their database and having buyer information updated when a new order is processed, and then kicking off a transaction that then updates that information in all the related applications that might be using the buyer data. And so we can post a message to the business integrator. That message can be picked up and then used to update other applications in your supply chain. And then the last one might be, again, perhaps you use a database like IDMS or Adabas, and as you make a change, you would want to make a change to your other DB2 databases. So synchronizing those changes, making sure that data got updated in all places, is absolutely key, and this is a technology that can allow you to do that without having to write application changes. So with that, that ends the overview part of our presentation, and I'd like to turn the program over to Satish, who will take you through a little more detail on Kix Event Publisher.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Don. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. I am Satish Tanner from the Hursley Lab, and I am a technical specialist for Kix Tools. Kix Business Event Publisher, or Kix BEP, is one of the tools I have responsibility for. In this part of the presentation, I'll take you through a product overview of Kix BEP. So I'm on slide 13, now moving on to slide 14. So the agenda for this overview will cover some of the challenges involved with application interoperability and integration using business events. We will then look at the role of Kix BEP and how it can help with these challenges without the requirement for large amounts of development dollars and development costs. We will also look at the components of Kix BEP in more detail. Slide 15. So we've seen over many decades, over the last two decades especially, that business analysts and application integrators have faced many challenges integrating a legacy of heterogeneous application systems. Many of these systems have been developed using different programming languages, and they run on a multitude of different operating systems and hardware platforms. So this creates many challenges. So some of these applications have been brought in from different vendors or developed using in-house code. They have APIs and file formats that change because of the evolving business requirements. And historically, the integration of these systems has been very ad hoc, because what's happened is that different program languages, bridges have been used, and binary conversions have had to be done, which lead to a lot of maintenance and a very brittle infrastructure. The actual integration may involve multiple technologies, which may be specialized for each integration connection, and that this leads to more complexity. So overall, the proprietary solutions may offer some relief internally, but integration, when it comes to integrating with a different partner, with different technology, this can cause further integration problems. So moving on to slide 16 then. This is where we can see that a traditional integration has required technology-aware bridges to be developed, and these can be complex and expensive to implement and maintain. Program bridges are typically based on APIs and file formats, but these change, and this can lead to instability in the integrated system. This is where SOA and the ability for each component to use the same way of talking to other components based on platform-neutral standards really helps. So anything that understands services can talk to other services regardless of the underlying implementation. So this approach, as we are seeing more and more in today's world, as SOA is being taken up by so many customers, that this approach is greatly simplifying and strengthening the integration efforts. And so this is where event-driven applications come in. Event-driven applications, conceptually, are part of a service-oriented architecture, and they consist of a set of constructs, runtime artifacts, tools, and APIs, which are intended to support event-driven behavior. And you can see on this slide number 17 here that I've tried to give you some details on what the various artifacts and objects are within event-driven applications. So I won't go into a lot of detail on each one, but basically I'll describe what an event is. An event is a significant instantaneous occurrence which is of interest to somebody. It happens at a specific point in time, and it happens completely or it doesn't happen at all. And there are some other definitions there of event types, topics, streams, and we also describe what an event processing network is. So moving on to slide 18, we now look at what KIX Business Event Publisher is all about. See, the basic function of KIX BEP is very simple. It monitors events in applications, for example, file updates, program links, temporary storage writes, etc., and compares the events and their associated data to rules that are provided by the user. If the event passes the selection criteria for a rule, a message is created from all or part of the event data. For example, the contents of a VSAM record being updated, that is the type of data that is published. The message is then written to an MQ series queue as specified by the rule. Recently, KIX Business Event Publisher has been enhanced to enable conversion and transformation of event data. For example, this conversion may be from packed decimal to character or XML format. This is achieved using a simple COBOL LE exit program. This function also enables an event audit log or report to be created. This report can help customers comply with directives such as Sarbanes-Oxley and other European Union directives that are coming through. These reports can also be used within other batch or online processes. Moving on to slide 19. This describes an architecture where you have event-driven applications within a service-oriented architecture. And this is where it shows how KIX Business Event Publisher can help within this architecture. So you have events from CICS or DB2 or IMS. Business Event Publisher can intercept these events based on rules that have been defined, and these events can be further transformed using the LE exit capability that I just described to a SOAP or XML format and can be made available on the enterprise service bus. Once it's available there, then other applications running, for example, in WebSphere Portal Server or WebSphere Application Server, or even on environments such as Siebel, can then access this data and use this within services which may be part of a service-oriented architecture. So moving on to slide 20 then, this diagram shows the capabilities the new LE exit function of KIX BEP provides. As well as enabling simple data conversion and transformation, it enables event audit reports to be created. The LE exit program can also access other data sources. Furthermore, the recoverable resource services, the RRS capability that is being added to KIX Business Event Publisher, this enables any changes made to RRS-compatible resource managers by the exit program to be kept in sync with the original event connector unit of work. So this is quite a fundamental enhancement to Business Event Publisher. Moving on to slide 21. This describes in a bit more detail the audit reporting capability of Business Event Publisher and the LE exit function. So these LE exits can be used to monitor activity in KIX, IMS, or DB2 systems. And these reports can include events, and at the same time, it can send an MQ message if required. So this LE exit can be written to be an audit report program, which can format up to 10 report lines or records for each input event. The creation of this report is managed by the message server address space. It will manage the writing and also the allocation of the report data sets. So moving on to slide 22, this is where I'm describing some of the type of events that Business Event Publisher is able to intercept. In the KIX environment, the Business Event Publisher will intercept events related to VSAM files or temporary storage queues or transient data queues. It can also intercept events where one transaction issues a start for another transaction, so interval control type events, as well as program control type events where one program links to another program. In the DB2 environment, it will intercept events related to inserts, updates and deletes on DB2 tables. These events do not have to originate from kicks. They can originate from other sources. So this may be stored procedures or batch programs that access a DB2 table. And similarly for the IMS environment. Again, these events do not have to originate from kicks. They can be from IMS batch jobs or online access to those IMS databases. Moving on to slide 23, we start looking at some of the main components of Kix Business Event Publisher. We have the Workstation Admin Client, which enables the rules to be defined for the events that are to be instrumented. There is the Kix Event Source Connector, which runs within the Kix address space and will monitor Kix events. And there is the DB2 Event Source Connector, which runs as a separate address space and will monitor events using the DB2 logs. The IMS Event Source Connector is also a separate address space, and it will monitor events using the IMS logs. There's the Message Server address space, which is responsible for creating the MQ message, as well as coordinating recovery for the event sources. The Data Space Server address space is used to manage the data spaces that are used by Kix Business Event Publisher. There's also the Rules Database Engine, which is a VSAM file used to store the rules. So moving on to slide 24, this is a diagram which shows the overall architecture of Kix Business Event Publisher. You've got on the bottom right-hand side here the Workstation Admin Client, which is used to define the rules and describe the type of events that are to be monitored. These are uploaded to the host and to the message server, which then stores these on the rules database, which is the VSAM file. You then have the Event Source Connector. In the top left-hand corner, you've got the Kix environment, where you have the Event Source Connector running within CICS and uses exits to monitor these events. Down from that, you've got the DB2 Event Source Connector, which uses the IFI, the Instrumentation Facilities Interface, to monitor DB2 logs. On the right-hand side, you have the IMS Event Source Connector, which uses IMS exits to monitor IMS logs. And these events will be matched against rules that have been defined, and if there is a match, then the message server is instructed to create the MQ message. Moving on to slide 25, just a few more details about the Event Source Connectors. We currently have one for Kix TS, DB2, and for IMS. The Event Source Connectors themselves are responsible for monitoring events within the subsystems that are creating these events. And the Event Source Connectors use documented interfaces to monitor these events. They build messages for the selected events. They can optionally call a user exit if there is one defined and do manipulation of the data before handing that message over to the message server, which is then responsible for creating the message. Moving on to the next slide, these next few slides, starting from 26, show some of the panels that are used to define the BEP rules. So you select the type of events that you want to monitor, Kix, DB2, or IMS, and then you click on the Selection Criteria tab, which then takes you onto that next tab, and this is where you can describe the type of event that you want to monitor. In this case, it is a file event on a Kix VSAM file. You can select the type of event on this file that you want to monitor, so this may be a write, rewrite, a read, or whatever. So there's a whole list of operation types that you can select from on the right-hand side here. On the left-hand side of the panel, you'll see that you can define further selection criteria. This may be for specific transaction IDs, term IDs, Apple IDs, and so on. So that's the level of selection criteria that can be specified there. Moving on to the next slide, slide 28, this is the advanced selection criteria that can be specified for the rule, where you download data from a copybook related to this file, and this information can then be used to define advanced selection criteria, where you can say you only want to create a message when a specific field within a VSAM file is changed. So that's the advanced selection criteria. Moving on to the next slide, slide 29, these are the various message options that can be specified using the message options tab. So here you can select whether you want to include all the data related to this event, or if you want to build a specific layout for this message from the data of that event. So when you click on the Build Custom Message tab, for example, that takes you onto this next panel where you can go and select fields from a file, or if this was a DB2 rule that you were specifying, you can select columns from a table that are to be included in the event message. So moving on to slide 31 then, here we describe the DB2 Event Source Connector in a bit more detail. The DB2 Event Source Connector will monitor events for your DB2 applications, and it will then create an MQ message based on that event. The versions of DB2 supported are up to version 8, and the key thing here to point out is that you have to turn change data capture on for the tables that are to be monitored for events. Moving on to the next slide, we talk about the BEP message server address space, which is responsible for putting the message onto the MQ queue. This message server ensures the transactional unit of work integrity. It also coordinates automated recovery for all event sources that are connected to this message server. The message server itself is multitasking and it's multi-threaded. It can support multiple event source connectors within one MVS image, but you can have multiple message servers running on the same MVS image, and this may be for load balancing purposes or where you want to separate production and test message servers and for security reasons. Moving on to slide 33 then, the rules database engine. This is a vSAM file which is used to store the rules that have been defined using the Windows-based graphical interface. So once these rules have been defined, they're uploaded to the host and stored on the rules database. And this vSAM file, the rules database, can be shared between multiple message servers. The rules themselves are dynamically refreshable, so once they've been uploaded to the host, a modify command can be issued to the message server to dynamically refresh the rules within the data spaces. Moving on to slide 34 then, we look at some of the customer uses of Business Event Publisher. The key area where Business Event Publisher helps is where customers need to integrate their existing legacy applications with new business processes and new business applications. So events within these existing applications can help to drive new business processes. So for example, where price changes occur to a set of products within a retail environment, these can all be detected and sent to the individual supermarket chains, the supermarket branches, and updated automatically. So any changes, for example, to bank accounts, then these changes can be propagated to other services within the banking environment. Credit card limits reaching a certain value, those type of events can be detected and the message sent to an application which can then process that event and invoke new business processes. The stock triggers as well, where stock levels and inventories within a store reach a certain value, those can be detected and a new business process invoked to then handle that situation. So a number of different scenarios there. When we look at, for example, 24/7 operations, automatic detection of error conditions within business applications or invalid data can help to reduce errors and downtime on those applications. Integration enabler as well, in that many customer environments already include WebSphere MQ and WebSphere MQ brokers within their architecture, and Business Event Publisher can integrate with that, then the brokers can then transform the message and then integrate that with new business processes. Moving on to slide 35, we look at an actual customer scenario in which Business Event Publisher is involved. So we have an insurance company that has a number of existing KICS applications. These currently form a mainly manual workflow. Reports from one process are used to provide intelligence for downstream processes, but generated through batch processes which normally run overnight. So KICS BEP rules have been generated to intercept the relevant parts of these applications to drive the downstream processes automatically. So the interception of these events requires no application changes and are identified within the KICS BEP rules as just program link events. The COM area on the program link for these applications is published by KICS BEP as an MQ message, which is processed by WebSphere Portal server, which in turn invokes processes to access another insurance application in KICS via EXEI to obtain further data. This data is then transmitted to a Siebel Opportunity Management application, which is a web-based application used by the insurance company to drive further life and accident insurance policy sales. So this is an actual customer scenario where business event publisher is able to enhance existing business processes and business application without any changes to the application itself. Just to mention as well that BEP creates this MQ message, but also creates an audit log of the events, which can then be used by other processes, which may be batch processes, or the audit log can be used for storing away for Sarbanes-Oxley compliance or other European Union directives compliance. So moving on to slide 36 then, this describes an environment that Business Event Publisher is running on a system in Montpellier, where many customers have been invited and have seen Business Event Publisher running at various high transaction rates. So this is a KICS DB2 environment, which is a core bank application, which has been enhanced using KICS Business Event Publisher to intercept events on a DB2 table, to create a second DB2 table, which is an analytical database. Now, the reason why Business Event Publisher was used is that they needed to be able to create this table, which may reside on a distributed platform, and they need to do the analysis on this data in a number of different environments. They have run this environment from message rates ranging from 100 messages per second all the way up to 1,000 messages per second without any noticeable increase in CPU costs within the environment. Moving on to the next slide, and just a summary of KICS Business Event Publisher. It enables detection of events within KICS DB2 and IMS using rules that are generated using a simple graphical user interface. It will then notify and create an MQ message, and at the same time, it's also able to create an event audit log of all the events within applications. It supports events in IMS and DB2 as well as KICS. The events within IMS and DB2 do not have to originate from KICS. They can be events due to IMS applications or events due to stored procedures or batch jobs running against the DB2 tables. So it provides powerful capabilities to enable existing applications to participate in event-driven business processes as part of a service-oriented architecture. It is a highly scalable and performance-oriented and fully recoverable environment. So for further details on BEP, there is a website that the details are available on the slide there. Moving on to the next slide, slide 38, just to mention that there is a try-and-buy website that has been set up for KICS tools, and all the details are available on this slide. At this site, you can register and download some of the KICS tools, and you have 60 days where you can evaluate these products, and IBM will then contact you to offer on-site assistance to confirm installation and offer live hands-on tips to kickstart your evaluation so that you can make the most of the trial period. So we think you'll like it, and hopefully you will buy the product once you've tried some of the tools from this download site. So that covers KICS Business Event Publisher. I would now like to turn the call over to Karen Durwood, who is the Offerings Manager for IBM WebSphere Integration Information Group, and she will discuss WebSphere Event Publishers.
Thank you, Satish. As Satish mentioned, this is Karen Durwood, and I work within the WebSphere Information Integrator Product Management Team. My focus is our SystemZ offerings, and I will focus today on our data event publishing capabilities. If you go to slide 40, here you'll see the agenda of the topics that I'll be covering. I'll begin with the basics. What is data event publishing? Why do you use it? And then I'll go into a little bit of detail about how the various data event publishing technologies that we offer operate. After that, I'll focus on implementation scenarios, ways that you can leverage data event publishing within your environments to address business problems. And lastly, I'll speak a little bit about how data event publishing integrates with other types of solutions from IBM as well as from other vendors. So let's move into the meat of the material and what is data event publishing. Satish did a wonderful job of introducing you to the concept of events and how they can help with your implementations and with your technology and business challenges. Within the WebSphere II team, we focus on data events. A data event is a change made to a database or file system. Data event publishing focuses on capturing these changes and publishing them or pushing them through a delivery mechanism such as WebSphere MQ to a tool, an application, an integration consumer. Why would we do this? Well, it's all about driving downstream processes with these changes. That downstream process could be an update to a data warehouse for a business intelligence environment. It could be synchronizing information from a legacy application with a packaged application. It could be notifying a WebSphere MQ broker that something has happened so that that broker can trigger a workflow or another process. The key difference is that we are focused exclusively on the underlying databases that drive your application environment. Moving on to slide 42. This shows, again, the data feeding the third-party or IBM processes at the other end. So we're capturing data events in real time, and we're pushing those events using an ubiquitous delivery mechanism, which is WebSphere MQ, to drive a database change, to drive application synchronization, to drive an EAI or enterprise application integration solution. Let's jump into how we accomplish that and move on to slide 43. Here you see pictorially at a very high level what's going on with the WebSphere data event publishers for ZOS. These are real-time and or background capture mechanisms. And what I mean by that is that we have the ability to capture changes as they're being made or to capture changes after the fact. And once we have captured a change, we will reformat and push that change out to WebSphere MQ. We have capture facilities not only for DB2, but for VSAM changes made through CICS, for IMS database changes, as well as for non-IBM databases like CAIDMS and Software AGA database. There are, however, two underlying architectures within our event publisher family, and there's a very good reason for that. DB2 changes are coming from a relational database. Most consuming applications or tools would understand how to consume data from a relational database. But when we're talking about VSAM and IMS and IDMS and A database, it's much less likely that a third party or an IBM tool or application will understand how to consume an IDMS record or an IMS segment. So the classic event publisher architecture compensates for all of the proprietary differences between these various databases. It reformats the data that we capture into a consistent relational format before we publish it. And in that way, the applications and tools that will consume these changes will have an easy time of consuming them. Let's move on and get into some more details, going on to slide 44. More on the how. As I mentioned in the previous slide, we have a log-based and recoverable solution that supports capture in both an active mode as well as a recovery or background mode. In an active mode, our change capture agents are interfacing with the database and file logging mechanisms themselves. And I'll show you each of them in a little more detail later on. In a background or recovery mode, the capture mechanisms are reading log files, spills, journals, more permanent log mechanisms so that they can read in a background or non-real-time mode. When we've captured these changes and we're going to push them out, we push them out in one of two formats depending upon the consumer and what you actually need to be delivered to that application or tool that will consume the change. One format is an XML, self-describing XML message format, widely used across many products and tools. The second is a delimited values message. So, for example, a comma delimited value message can be sent for consumption by the third-party tool. But irrespective of whether it's XML or delimited values, again, all information is delivered in a consistent relational format regardless of the underlying source from which we captured the change. Pushing it out, we're using WebSphere MQ as our publishing mechanism for a number of reasons. We can publish once and have you consume any number of times. It's a common, very high-performance guaranteed delivery mechanism available on a wide sector of platforms, and it is the dominant mainframe messaging infrastructure. So a number of our clients already have WebSphere MQ implemented. Finally, the IBM and third-party solutions readily integrate with WebSphere MQ. Now, one other note on the how of our data event publishing solutions. There are custom interfaces that we deliver with other information integrator components so that our data event publishers can seamlessly clip onto those solutions. And that list is expanding all the time. So, for example, if you're a data stage ETL, extract, transform, and that should say load, not link user, there is a stage specifically designed to interoperate with the data event publishers. Let's move on to slide 45 and go into a little more detail on the classic data event publishing architecture and how these solutions operate. So we already know that we have change capture agents that are monitoring database changes either via active capture mechanisms during the logging process or in a recovery background mode from logs and journal files. Once those changes have been captured, they push those changes out to the classic event publisher server. Within the server, there are two services, a correlation service and a distribution service. The correlation service acts as the traffic cop for the entire environment. Its role is to monitor the changes until it receives a commit or a rollback. And in that way, when it receives a commit, it can gather all the changes associated with a single unit of work from a database and push those changes to the distribution service. The distribution service, on the other hand, is the mechanism by which we reformat and actually deliver the changes. So its job is to use the metadata that describes how we're going to reformat the data and repackage it, put it into the relational format, get it into the XML or the comma delimited file format, and then push it out to WebSphere MQ. The two are handshaking, and within the correlation service, we have a recovery mechanism built in. It's keeping track of when was the last change that actually got pushed to the distribution service that was actually published, so that it knows where to pick up should a failure occur at any point in the entire process. At an infrastructure level, this whole solution is driven by a metadata catalog that maps the underlying data record, the underlying IMS segment, vSAM file record layout to a logical relational infrastructure so that we understand how to reformat information. Let's move on to slide 46 and discuss that metadata management in a little more detail. Rather than have to code reformatting of information, we use a mapping to automate the reformatting of the legacy data into a relational consistent format before we publish it. We bring COBOL copybooks, IDMS schemas, IMS DBDs. If you're an database user, we bring predict information all into our data mapping facility. And within that facility, we use that to generate logical table definitions. You can then alter those table definitions to some degree. For example, you can remove logical columns and in this way filter the data that we publish. You can define a SQL view on top of a logical table definition and in that way filter the rows of information that we're pushing out. And within this metadata, there is something called an alter flag, which identifies the specific logical tables that represent data we actually want to be able to capture and publish. From an external perspective, these catalogs look very much like a relational database catalog. If you query them, and in fact any ODBC tool that is going to interoperate with our environment queries our metadata catalogs to discover what is in them, to discover the logical tables and columns that we're going to publish, they will query sys-tables, sys-columns, sys-indexes, all those standard relational database catalog objects. There are a number of utilities involved in managing these. Some of those actually verify that the metadata and the physical database information matches up. And then lastly, there is, of course, an interactive GUI tooling set that drives this entire process. Let's move on then in slide 47 to address some of the details of how these capture correlation distribution service components operate. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time on our CICS VSAM event publishing and then briefly go through the others. The VSAM agent is somewhat different in that we have a number of different capture agents that are available. For example, we have a forward recovery log capture agent that uses the MVS forward recovery logs to capture changes. The nice thing about that particular agent is that you have one agent that can handle active and recovery mode. You can start up from the most recent CICS startup. You can start up from right now in time. You can specify a specific date and time that you want to begin. You can go to the oldest log. So you have lots of flexibility there in where you begin capturing changes and pushing them out. We also use, however, a VSAM auto journal mechanism because one of the things we do know is that MVS forward recovery logs themselves are very resource intensive and many customers do not want to use them for all of their VSAM activity. So we provide an alternative that's less resource intensive, but you have to recognize with an auto journal approach, I can't go back in time. So in a recovery mode, I have to do some other things to actually pick up the information. The correlation service, again, acts as the traffic cop. The distribution service, again, pushing the information out. So no uniquenesses there in a CICS VSAM environment. Slide 48 represents the IMS environment. And again, the change capture mechanisms are different. Each database has unique logging capabilities that we're leveraging. As a result, our change capture agents tend to be very unique to the database they are monitoring. In this case, the active agent is running as a logger exit. It does add some overhead to the IMS environment because we're in the IMS logging environment, and it does require expanded log records so we get all of the information that you need. But we do the minimal amount of work that is required within that agent. We, in fact, push all filtering off to the correlation service so that we add very, very little overhead within your IMS environment. And we have IMS clients who are running this with very, very high throughputs and seeing minimal impact. The correlation service, again, does all of its traffic cop type work, pushing off to the distribution service and out to MQ. Now, the recovery agent, on the other hand, operates on the IMS logs, so it's a background passive, doesn't impact IMS at all. Moving on to slide 49, here we have it in IDMS. IDMS conceptually is very much like IMS. It's a journaling mechanism rather than a log mechanism. There is an active agent that operates within the journaling environment of IDMS, and there is a recovery or background agent that runs against IDMS journals. And lastly, ADBase. ADBase, again, has an active mode that runs using a special interface within the database logging environment. There is no database logging exit point where anyone can plug in to database logging. So we worked with Software AG for them to develop an exit for us so that we could hook in to the active database environment. And then, of course, in a background mode, we can use the actual quote-unquote P-logs. Let's move on now to the implementation scenarios and how clients are using data event publishing to solve real business problems. Moving on to slide 52, usage scenarios for data event publishing. These are the most common usage scenarios that we see. Warehousing business intelligence, again, driving change-only updating of a data warehouse, a data mart, an operational data store. Application-to-application messaging, the idea that I can capture a change, for example, in a legacy database and use that to perhaps drive an update in a CRM or ERP application such as Siebel or SAP. And then event notification, capturing an action or an event a data event and using that to notify some other process that something has happened. And I'll go into a few of these in some detail. Let's move on to slide 53. Here we see traditional ETL, traditional extract transform load processing, where COBOL extract applications are typically used to pull information out of the Z system databases. That information is then FTP'd down to the warehousing platform where the ETL solution picks up and starts reformatting and transforming the data. There are some challenges, however, with this traditional implementation. One is that it can be very difficult to find only the changes in these legacy databases. They don't always have date timestamps. So you can spend a lot of time actually scanning entire databases to find changes. The other is that in our 24/7 internet-enabled environment, it's becoming more and more difficult to create a batch window to find downtime when you can take a database offline so that you can extract information from it and send those changes down. Data event publishing can address both of those issues. If we move on to slide 54, when you look at an ETL environment with data event publishing, what happens is we're capturing changes as the changes are being made, and we're sending them down to the ETL platform. The ETL platform can then apply the changes dynamically to the data mark, or it can stage them on its own platform for some periodic update, because we know not all data warehousing changes can be applied real time. You may need to aggregate or summarize data for the entire day before you can apply changes. The idea, however, is that we do that staging on the ETL platform, and we do not have to actually bring the databases offline to be able to do this. So what happens here is we maximize data currency. We also minimize and stabilize bandwidth utilization. You don't need a big pipe in the middle of the night to send all this data. We can use that small pipe throughout the day to get the changes down there, and then you can apply them as you need them applied. Moving on to slide 55 shows, again, a data event publishing, not feeding an ETL, but feeding an integration solution, which is going to update a packaged application database. Conceptually, it's the same scenario, but we're using a different type of consumer. We're using a business integrator consumer that has a packaged application adapter to be able to update that packaged application information with the changes from the legacy environment. Moving on to slide 56, let's take a look at what happens in a traditional application-driven integration environment when it comes to pushing data. Here what happens is, let's say that my credit analyst needs to be made aware of specific types of changes in account balances. We want to make them aware so they can make a decision to increase available credit, to cut someone off, to put an audit check in that perhaps someone is fraudulently using a card. The typical way that I would do that with an application integration approach is I would build a hook into every application that touched that credit balance. So I end up with a lot of hooks, and hooks that can be fairly brittle, because every time you change one of these underlying applications, you have to re-examine those integration hooks to see if you've broken anything. Slide 57 shows what happens when you take a data approach to that solution. Here, we monitor the database, not the applications. And in that way, we capture the same information, that same change to an account balance, and push it off to the analyst portal, but we do it independently of the applications. And in this way, it's much more loosely coupled. You can actually do all of the maintenance and all of the growth on those applications without ever worrying about breaking your integration. The only time you have to re-examine the integration is if the underlying data definitions themselves change. Moving on to slide 58, I wanted to show you a real-world implementation of this technology. This is a major technology reseller. In fact, it's the largest technology reseller in the world. And they have three data centers. They have two operational data centers, one in the UK and one in California. And then they have a third data center in India from which they do all of their business reporting and non-transaction processing applications. Within their transaction processing environment, they're using Event Publisher to capture significant and important information from their business databases. That information is then pushed out in two different ways. It's pushed out to a partner connectivity gateway. For example, if an inventory value drops too low, they want to restock. And they don't want to restock until that inventory gets low. So this is allowing them to implement a very just-in-time inventory environment. They push this change out and then drive their restocking processes from that change. But at the same time, they're pushing a lot more data over to their Oracle operational data store so that they can do all of their business reporting, again, in the India operations rather than on their transaction processing systems. This lightens the workload on the transaction processing environment so that their transactions process much, much more quickly. At the same time, it ensures that business reports are running off of very current, accurate data. Let's move on now to integration. How do these solutions work with other solutions? And on slide 60, I ask the question, should I be using event publishing, enterprise application integration, or ETL? The reality is that question shouldn't ever be asked. Because what happens is event publishing isn't an either-or technology. It is very much a complementary technology designed specifically to interoperate with EAI and ETL solutions. So you can leverage data events to make your enterprise application integration, your EAI environment, more efficient. You can leverage data events to make your extract transform load, your ETL environment, more efficient. And in particular, if you look on slide 61, I show you how the data event publishing technologies interoperate with IBM's own ETL solution, DataStage. Now, what you're seeing here is actually two sets of technologies, publishing technology and access technology. The classic product that I spoke about, the classic data event publishing architecture, is shared with another product that is specifically designed to support access to the same underlying databases. They share that virtual relational metadata mapping, and in that way, I can use SQL to access the data at the same time that I can be publishing data changes through WebSphere MQ. This gives me a pull integration approach with the access and a push integration approach with the publishing. And all of this can interoperate with other components of the WebSphere data integration platform. So in summary, what's the value of data event publishing? Well, you can read this slide. There's a key emphasis is on extending the value of the investments you have in your mainframe. We know that the operational data stored on mainframes today is critical to your business. How do you use it, and how do you use it seamlessly with all of the modern initiatives that you would like to implement? Secondly, our clients tell us the real value here is acceleration. Data warehousing projects. We have a client who has told us that using these technologies, they have cut their data mart implementation times in half. When a new request comes in to add information or for information that they weren't reporting into their warehouse or data mart before, they can implement that in literally half the time. And then lastly, this is a very complementary technology. It works very well to give your other integration solutions a leg up and to make them more efficient and more effective. Finally, if we move on to slide 63, I'd like to wrap this up with a reference slide. We included this because we've discussed today two distinct families that are both focusing on events and how you can use events to rapidly drive integration within your organizations. On the one side, we have CICS Business Event Publisher, which Satish explained, and on the other side, we have the WebSphere Data Event Publishers that I've gone through. This one slide gives you a reference point so that you can look to see which is best suited to your problem, or perhaps the challenge you have may need some marriage of the two. And with that, I'd like to turn it back to the operator so that we can go into our question and answer session.
Thank you. At this time, we'll conduct a brief electronic survey. After I finish reading the entire question and all of the possible responses, please answer by firmly pressing the star key followed by the number on your touch-tone phone that corresponds to your choice. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signals to reach our equipment. There will be a brief pause between each question to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. Question 1. Did you find today's information on event publishing useful? star 1 for no, star 2 for yes. Again, question 1, did you find today's information on event publishing useful? Star 1 for no, star 2 for yes, and we'll pause for a moment. And question 2, did you see a role for event publishing in your organization? Again, do you see a role for event publishing in your organization? Star 1 for no, star 2 for yes. Again, question 2, do you see a role for event publishing in your organization? Star 1 for no, star 2 for yes. And our final question, would you like more information on IBMer's event publisher tool? Star 1 for no, star 2 for yes, CICS business event publisher for MQ, star 3, yes, WebSphere 2 event publishers, or star 4, yes, both CICS business event publisher and WebSphere event 2. Again, question 3, would you like more information on IBM's event publisher tool? Star 1 for no, star 2, yes, CICS business event publisher for MQ, star 3, yes, WebSphere 2 event publishers, or star 4, yes, both CICS business event publisher and WebSphere 2 event. And we'll pause momentarily. At this time, we'd like to move on to our question and answer session. If you do wish to signal for a question, you may do so by pressing star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Again, that is star 1 on your touch-tone phone if you do wish to signal for a question. If you are using a speakerphone today, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signals to reach our equipment. And once again, that is star 1 for any questions, and we'll pause momentarily. As a final reminder to our audience, that is star 1 on your touch-tone phone if you do wish to signal for a question, star 1 at this time. And if you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signals to reach our equipment. At this time, we have no other questions standing by on our question roster. I'd like to turn the conference back to Mr. Caffarelli for any additional or closing comments.
Sure. Thank you very much. First of all, we're very excited about our publishing technology and look forward to working with you on how these tools and technology can add value in your specific environment. I would like to thank and close out the session by thanking our speakers today and for you for attending today's session.
Thank you, everyone, for your participation in today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.